Welcome once again to our Bible study. This is Mike Moody. We're pleased to be with you once again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We're looking at the rapture or the translation of the saints to ever be with the Lord. Let's look to our Lord in prayer. Father, again, we bow in thy presence. We thank you for your holiness and for your righteousness and also for your love and mercy and grace, as this has been displayed on the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Father, for all these truths and many, many more. We ask that you be with us as we proclaim thy word today. We ask that you give us liberty. Pray, Father, that you would be with those listening as well, that they may have ears to hear and hearts to take it in. We do ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been looking at a study of 1 Thessalonians, but in recent times with you, we've been taking the subject of chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, that is the rapture, and looking at that aspect of the second coming of the Lord, as the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians do deal with the coming of the Lord. We're taking this section of 1 Thessalonians 4 and examining what the rest of the Bible also has to say about the rapture, that is, the snatching away in an instant, in a moment, the twinkling of eyes we read in 1 Corinthians 15. We understand that the church will be taken, and this is distinct from when the Lord will come himself to the earth and establish his kingdom, set things in order for his millennial thousand-year reign. This would preclude that. The rapture would be 7 years approximately before this. We're looking at various scriptures that would tie this in together, and to see the validation of the teaching of the rapture. And so, if you'll turn with me in Hebrews chapter 9, we want to consider this theme, this principle in the Word of God. And that is in Hebrews 9, when it's speaking of the three appearances of the Lord Jesus in the sense that he hath come concerning the cross in 9:26 of Hebrews. He now appears in heaven, verse 24, as the great high priest. And then in verse 28, we see that he shall in the future appear as king. So there we see, in a sense, past, present, future in the appearance of the Lord Jesus. Came to earth to die. He now lives in heaven to intercede for us. And yet he shall return to earth as king. With this context, verse 27 of Hebrews 9 says this, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Since the Lord Jesus has made in his words so clear that judgment is coming, we must understand the context of judgment. We understand that the believer, as we find brought out in 1 and 2 Corinthians, that the believer will stand before the Lord at the bema seat of Christ, not judging us for our destiny, for that is sealed in Christ. We that have been saved, we know we're going to heaven. But once we are in heaven, we stand before the bema seat, where the Lord will judge us according to what we've done as believers. He will examine our motives, and will judge accordingly. And he will, as in his means and in his way and his will give out rewards to the believers that we may be able to cast them back at his feet in worship. Revelation chapter 4. And so that is a distinct judgment from the judgment of the lost. In Revelation chapter 20, it speaks of the great white throne. And this is for those that will taste the second death, those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, those that will be lost for eternity and separated from the Lord in enjoyment of him. And so, we see with these distinct judgments, what does this verse mean? That is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Every person on the face of the earth will die, with the exception, this divine exception, of the rapture. And those scenarios that tie in with the rapture that we'd like to look at, we see that unless the Lord snatches us away in this day or in a future day, unless you're part of the church and you are raptured away, you will taste death. And so it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. There are divine exceptions to this principle, and we're looking at that in the rapture of the church. How can we justify that there is a divine exception to this principle that is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment? There are precedents found in the Old Testament, ones that did not taste death. There are few, but nevertheless, there are precedents. We turn in the book of Genesis, and we go to chapter 5, and we see a divine exception to death. There was a man called Enoch, and we see right before the flood was Noah, that there was a man who lived 969 years. His name was Methuselah, and his father was Enoch. And in chapter 5 of Genesis, we read about this man, Enoch, verse 24. It says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now, in just a casual reading of this, we might say, "Well, God took him. That must mean he died." But no. We read further in the New Testament, over in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, as it were, the chapter of faith, when it mentions people like Abraham, and Noah, and yes, Enoch, Abel, and Joseph, and others, men and women of faith. And when we read of these, in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we read more about him as one, as in Genesis, that pleased God. But did you notice in verse 5, it mentions that he did not see death. It says, it uses the word translation, that he was translated. We read that. In verse 5, we see it three different times. To be translated. It means to be transferred or exchanged. And so here, Enoch was translated, i.e. raptured away to heaven. Enoch is a divine exception to death. We go over to 2 Kings in chapter 2. And there we read of two men, prophets of God, Elijah and Elisha. And when it was time for Elijah to be taken up into heaven, Elisha was the one that would, as it were, have the mantle passed on to him, literally and also symbolically of the ministry of Elijah being passed on to Elisha. And so as they went from one city to another, Elisha followed Elijah, and the time came when Elijah would be taken up into heaven. 2 Kings 2 and 1, it says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." They went to Bethel, and they went to Jericho, they went on to the Jordan. And then in verse number 11, "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." We see that he did not taste death, but he went to heaven. Another divine exception to death. Well, as we move on into the New Testament, we see there are other examples of people that have been snatched up. If you go to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we notice with Paul there in chapter 12, that Paul was taken up into the third heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and notice as he speaks here, it becomes evident that he's speaking of himself if you read the chapter as a whole. But we read in verse 2, "And I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up," that is, there's our term, snatched up, raptured up to the third heaven. "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." And so we see, perhaps when it says 14 years ago, this could have been the time when Paul was there left for dead in the street, one of those times you read about in the book of Acts, perhaps there at Lystra or what have you, and we see that, he was half dead, as it were, but the Lord snatched him up. He saw these unspeakable things as he was raptured into the third heaven. And so we see the Lord continued to use Paul after this in his ministry. And so in Revelation 11, we see another example of ones being raptured up, divine exceptions to death, as it were. There are two witnesses in Revelation 11, and we read of these two in chapter 11 during the tribulation time that would be a testimony before the world for the Lord Jesus. We see that they are treated in an awful manner. And we see that they are dealt with in just as we read in verse 9, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." So in the midst of the tribulation time, there are these two witnesses, as earlier in the chapter is described. Some suggest that it could be Moses, it could be John the Baptist, it could be Elijah. There's different suggestions. The Lord knows who these witnesses will be, based on the descriptions given in the chapter here, Revelation 11. But nevertheless, their dead bodies will be there, and ones that tormented them because they did not want to hear the gospel. And so in verse 11 it says, "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." And so it says, "In that same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell," etc., etc. And so here, ones that had been dead, God put the Spirit of life back in them, and then he raptured them to heaven, the two witnesses. And yet this is a future event. This is something that's not yet happened. This will happen after the saints, the church, that is, as a whole, will be raptured. This is future things, Revelation 11. And yet it's an example. That phrase is used, "come up hither." And they were snatched up. Now if you go back, and we'll have to look to the Lord in prayer and look another time. Father, thank you for this time in the Word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 1259, Ramsour, North Carolina, zip code 27316. All requests for tapes are free. Join us next time at 1 o'clock with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.